This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 9:59. Coming up at 10:15 on Flashpoints, a report on the National Fast to say not one more deportation, organized by the National Day Laborer Organizing Network. An interview with law professor Marjorie Cohn on Edward Snowden and his legal rights to political asylum. And we hear from Wild Idaho Rising Tide on confronting Northwest coal mining, hauling, and burning. At 11 on stage and studio, Portland composer and pianist Daniel Grant talks about his new composition, The Territory, inspired by a variety of events in regional history. And we'll hear a story on Oregon's most diverse town. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Gallivan interviews abstract painter Diane Avio-Agi, whose show Synergy is on now at the Mark Woolley Gallery. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, June 25th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Well, the Supreme Court has, in case anybody still believes that America is not indeed on the skids, handed down three rulings. There's more also, but we've got... Of course, the first, which does mortal damage to the Voting Rights Act. The second makes it more difficult for employees to prove discrimination in the workplace when, in the event that they have experienced discrimination in the workplace. And the third represents the triumph of property rights over environmental concerns, even in sensitive, fragile habitats, which are officially protected. Developers have the right of way. Meanwhile, the U.S. continues its temper tantrum over the whereabouts of Edward Snowden. It seems that the U.S. just cannot believe that other countries don't hop to whenever it snaps its fingers or fires a gun. We will have Norman Solomon back joining us today to talk more about Edward Snowden and the significance of his acts, not just for in the sense of revealing these secrets, but of course, the place that it puts the U.S. In the global hierarchy. First, this from the National Weather Service. Showers likely today, obviously, with a high near 70 and south wind 11 miles per hour, could gust up to 18. So hot, muggy, and windy. Tonight, oh, it's 50-50 as far as rain is concerned, with a low around 58. And for tomorrow, same thing, with a high near 71. For tomorrow night, it'll be drizzly, damp, with a low around 59. The alternative forecast has this for us. It's a waning gibbous root moon in Capricorn. The moon is 16 days old. The synodic forecast, it's a good time to sow root vegetables, berries, bulbs, onions, biennials, perennials. Go for it. It's rainy. It's humid, the wind's blowing, so why not? The biodynamic forecast, moon in Capricorn, it's an earth sign. Good time for root vegetables. And the sidereal forecast, moon in Capricorn, potatoes and tubers planted now will have strong growth. That's it for the alternative and the conventional forecast. Moving right into some of the stories. First up, around Cascadia, there is a lot going on. We have had some of these really earth-shaking pieces of information from coming from the Supreme Court, things that we might have wished not to think about, but indeed some of these decisions have confirmed many of our worst fears so far as the direction that the country is taking is concerned. On the other hand, to balance that, Edward Snowden's actions have highlighted exactly where the U.S. stands in the eyes of the rest of the world. That it, when the U.S. demands that someone be handed over for exceptionally harsh treatment, countries such as Russia and China, who themselves have been accused of the harsh treatment of some of their citizens, Russia and China have put their foot down, drawn a line in the sand, and refused to move the foot. It's an interesting balance that we are in right now. We're going to speak first of returning to Cascadia, because this is indeed where we live. The battle for Jordan Cove goes on. We speak from time to time with activist Jody McCaffrey, and there's a lot been happening right now. Jody, good morning, and thank you so much. Jody won't be joining us this morning. We're going to be speaking instead on Cascadia issues. This is the environment. This is where we live. This is our habitat. We've got Dan Sears with Columbia Riverkeeper joining us today. And we'll get back to Jody tomorrow to bring the latest. It's a lot coming out of Coos Bay, a lot. But right now, Dan Sears, good morning. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Chris.
It's not just coal that we have to worry about now. There's the plans for trains, trucks, every sort of polluting transportation, and bringing these fossil fuels to ports all around the Pacific Northwest to be shipped to China and Asian ports, where it will be burned in extremely polluting facilities. It's alarming. There seems to be a great many of these plans that are afoot right now. Can you speak a little bit about why right now in particular companies are lining up to transship pollutants through Cascadia?
Yeah, we're at obviously a critical time, and I think it's actually very timely that you have Jody on to speak about Jordan Cove as well tomorrow. The Northwest is faced with multiple proposals for massive fossil fuel shipments. And two things that people can do in Portland in the very near term are looking at both oil exports in Vancouver and coal exports down the Columbia River on the Oregon side. So the first hearing that we know about that will be dealing with oil exports, you know, huge shipments of fracked oil out of the Bakken Formation in Montana and North Dakota, that's proposed to come through the Port of Vancouver at 360,000 barrels per day, which makes it about half the size of the Keystone XL pipeline. So truly massive in scale. And the hearing for that, or the first meeting about it, actually, it's not really a hearing, but it's the first meeting, is this Thursday on June 27th at 9:30 a.m., so it's early in the morning, 3103 Northeast Lower River Road in Vancouver, Washington.
What was that again, Northeast Lower River Road?
That's right, 3103.
3103, we'll put that information up. It's important to show up for these hearings and meetings, although one does have a sense that it's a done deal and that we're sitting in those chairs for hours and hours simply as decoration to make it look like a democracy, whereas in fact it's a corporate kleptocracy.
It's not a done deal. We can stop it at the front end.
We do have the impression at times.
Yes, and I understand that very much. Yeah.
So to explain then, why is it not? What's in play and how can these plans be stopped?
Well, there are no signed agreements yet with this huge oil terminal, and it's proposed by Tesoro Savage Oil Companies. Without those signed agreements, without a lease agreement or a lease option, they can't get to the point of actually building this thing, which is really important. So folks in Portland and Vancouver, if you've got time to contact the Port of Vancouver or go to that hearing, that's incredibly important. And it mirrors, you know, this big oil issue mirrors the fight we've had in coal in Oregon for over a year. And we also have a very important meeting coming up about that in the next couple weeks.
Dan, thanks a lot for that. I really appreciate you taking the time. We'll put that information up and more, of course, and like to have you back in the near future to follow this story. It really does seem like that at this point in the history of Cascadia that the barbarians are at the gates and they're coming at us from all sides. So, yeah, it's a lot of work. Thank you so much for that, and we'll look forward to speaking to you again soon. We're going to go now to Norman Solomon to finish the discussion that we began yesterday, because Edward Snowden has become himself a sort of a mega identity, excuse me, meta identity at this point, after releasing the truth about metadata. He himself has become a meta person in that his actions are serving to illuminate the position of the U.S. in the eyes of the rest of the world. Good morning, Norman. Thanks for being back with us today.
Good morning. Yes, and I think he has Edward Snowden's actions and responses from many, and journalism that has taken place from The Guardian and elsewhere have been very illuminating. I understand we have only a couple minutes here, so I'm going to get right to the point, shorn, unfortunately, of nuance I'd rather be able to get into. The gist, I think, is that we need to recognize the extent to which we live under a surveillance state, a warfare state. It's unfortunate. We'd rather, obviously, to put it mildly, not be there, but we are. And so whether you live in Oregon or Washington or anywhere else in this country, the silence of your representatives in Congress and senators is really enabling this process to go forward. And I think people, we need to recognize that any member of Congress from our areas who are not forcefully speaking out against this surveillance state are in effect part of it.
Yeah, and that is that's one of those things that people don't like to look at. We are not taught to be responsible citizens. We're taught to be consumers, and so it's difficult for people to comprehend that. Can you speak a little bit more about the fact about both Russia and China defying the U.S.? I understand that today Vladimir Putin offered the first direct confirmation that Snowden was in a transit area at a Moscow airport, and that he appeared to rule out American requests for his extradition.
Yes, that's a request. That is what Putin said today, so you're quite correct. And I think that's certainly good news. And, you know, I think we can recognize that the governments of Russia and China are very repressive themselves, and they engage in suppression of rights and draconian surveillance. So these decisions made, for instance, by the Russian government are their own real politic and their own agendas. That, you know, doesn't more or less in either direction change the validity and the importance of supporting the actions of what Edward Snowden has done. And it's, you know, I really encourage people to stay in touch through outlets like KBOO, through online outlets like commondreams.org, and let's mobilize and organize so that we have authentic grassroots movement support for these very important whistleblowers.
Do you want to give that website again? It's Action.
I was recommending. Well, let me recommend two. One is where I am. We have a petition going with almost 30,000 people to President Obama, Hands Off Edward Snowden, and that's rootsaction.org. That's R-O-O-T-S, action.org. And also for online ongoing news, I would recommend commondreams.org.
There are sources out there. Common Dreams, excellent source, and you're a contributor to that particular website. What are Snowden's options? Is Ecuador inevitable? This is a final question, so I don't like to ask people to speculate except when we're about to go off the air. So go for it if you like.
Well, I don't think it's inevitable, but from the public statements made by leadership of the Ecuadorian government and from apparently statements coming from WikiLeaks, which has been providing legal international assistance to Edward Snowden, a likely destination for political asylum does appear to be Ecuador at this point.
Thanks so much for that, Norman. We really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll be able to pre-record a bit lengthier piece. This has been Cascadia for Tuesday, June 25th. Janet Anderson, engineer of the show today. Thanks, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, immigrant and migrant workers begin a series of rolling fasts at day labor centers around the country in support of humane immigration reform. Also, we'll speak to law professor Marjorie Cohn about the NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden and his legal rights to declare political asylum under international law. And the grassroots environmental group Wild Idaho Rising rises again in opposition to big coal. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned.